Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best selling show.
You're listening to the shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the rant.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Shy kids.
Daddy Warpus.
Orange Room.
Warlock Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zunes, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... never mind, I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host, that's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hopefully you're all okay, wherever it is and whenever it is you're listening to this. Tonight is a very special show because it's going to be a repeat. Because no show next week because literally I'm in America. So basically you'll be hearing this week's show next week or last week's show again today. But literally I'm off to America next week, so there'll be no show. But there will be a show the week after or next week, depends when you're listening to this. Hopefully you all understand that, because I don't. No, literally, because I'm off next week, because for the events, which all of you who can should be going to, which, let me give you the details again, I know we've given it for the last couple of weeks, is this Saturday, August 9th, Just Jake's at 30 Park Street, Montclair, New Jersey, from 1 till 4. It's basically a great big benefit for Otto Peterson's family, because he died a little while ago. We're trying to raise as much money as we can, so basically get yourself down there and donate, because we need as much money as we can to provide for his family. We've got great comics turning up. We've got Mike Falcone, Joe Conti's there, Dave Satsik, Dandy Marino, Johnny O's going to be there, which I'm looking forward to seeing him because I've heard that he's really funny and I get a chance to see him. A bunch of other people there are turning up as well. There's going to be like raffles, auctions. BPM will be our band. They'll be playing some songs there. So basically, it's all free admission. But yeah, I say, yeah, free admission, but we'd literally do ask that you donate as much money as you can. That would be really, really helpful to, you know, the family, because none of the money's going to us, because, to be honest, we don't deserve it. It all goes to for Otto's family. You know, turn up. Also, one second, let's see if I've still got the old thingy. Yep. If you can't come to it, we do still ask that you donate. You go tinyurl.com/otto donation. Make sure you donate there if you can't, you know, if you're not able to come and you still want to donate, that'd be really helpful as well. Don't forget, also, we're auctioning off the merch mug, which is facebook.com/merch mug. That's been making its rounds. I think it's at Hammy's house at the moment. But yeah, that will be showing up at the live event. But yeah, I can't wait. I'm really excited. I mean, literally, I'm all packed. I'm sort of staring at my suitcase now, which is being guarded by my flying bison. But yeah, I'm pretty much all packed. My clothes are in my suitcase. My travel bag's ready. I've got a whole bunch of games to take with me on the plane. Yeah, I'd say it's going to be a really good event, and you know, I'm looking forward to get back to the States. Yeah, I mean, I can't really tell you what's going to happen until I get back, but so you have to wait a couple of weeks. But yeah, I'm sort of hoping to do a whole load of stuff over there. You know, I leave day after tomorrow, which will probably be tomorrow when you're downloading this. Yeah, as I say, you're leaving on Thursday, sort of early morning flights. Get to New Jersey about the afternoon, you know, hanging out with everyone for a couple of days while we do the events, and then literally I'm on my own for a few days. So literally anyone who wants to hang with me in New York or New Jersey, let me know. You know, more the merrier, it'd be fun. But yeah, literally, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff I want to see in New York, so I'm sort of literally sort of looking at bus schedules and trying to plan how I'm going to get into the city. But yeah, I'm sort of all set, really. I've got my guidebook and a whole bunch of money and, you know, stuff, really. But yeah, I mean, I'm planning to go to the you know, Keep It Gaming. I'm planning to go to the Nintendo World Store in Manhattan near Rockefeller Center, which I've seen loads of videos and pictures, because they've got a giant sort of Pokemon Center in there and a whole bunch of Nintendo stuff. So I'm gonna have a look there, try and pick up some bits and pieces. But yeah, it's gonna be one great big trip, and I'm looking forward to going. So it's one of those things that sort of past couple of months been sort of clawing at the walls. It's been getting this worse this past week, trying to sort of like, you know, I'm really excited to go, and I've still got, you know, work to do, and I've still got like, I'm off work today, and I'm literally sort of sitting in my place, sort of making sure everything's tidy and that before I go, and just sort of in a hurry to get there and to, you know, not get it over with, but, you know, get stuff done and have fun. And, you know, I mean, most of the hosts for the station are going to be there. There's some that aren't going to be, which is a shame. But, you know, we're getting people who can turn up, you know, who can turn up, which is great. But yeah, it's going to be a really fun event. That's this Saturday. So make sure you're there, you know, come down, say hello, bring your camera, take plenty of pictures. We need, you know, this event's going to be massive. It's going to be epic. And we want all of you lot to turn up, you know, with your money, just, you know, donate, really. But yeah, I say nothing really else I can say about it, to be honest. I mean, I am super excited to see everyone. I mean, you know, people I haven't seen yet. I haven't seen Dee or Dutch or Mitch or Sherry or a couple of other people. You know, and then there's people I want to see again, like Royce Marie. You know, Hammy and Punchy, I'm looking forward to seeing again. You know, it's going to be great fun. You know, and we've got the roast this Friday, which I'm going to be at. I'm not going to be doing any material because, as you listeners would know, I am not funny. But yeah, so I'll be literally just sitting in the audience, getting roasted, which should be interesting, because most of the shit that goes on with my life that people would probably roast me about, it's like I know already. So I'm kind of interested to see what happens, but it's gonna be interesting. I know Joe said, Joe from Cousin Joe Show, he's got some stuff he's gonna get me on, which would be nice and interesting to listen to. As I say, most of the shit that's happening to me and the bad stuff that happens and the stuff that doesn't happen to me that happens to everyone else, I know already. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. But yeah, it's going to be a really fun event, and I can't wait to see everyone. Really am sort of, literally, I'm going to have broken arms from like hucking people too much. But yeah, literally, it's going to be really fun, and I'm going to take plenty of pictures, as you know, and when I'm hanging around in New York and stuff like that, I'll take plenty of pictures. I'll chuck them up on the Facebook page, which you can like by going to facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. Give that a like. I'd really appreciate it. I mean, there's thousands of you listening, and Literally, if everyone who listened to this show liked the page, we'd be up into the 4-digit number. That'd be nice. 2,000-3,000 people. That'd be really, really good. I'd really, really appreciate it. Also, don't forget, if you want to email the show, it's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to email us, I do enjoy reading your emails. Also, you can join our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Try and get yourself in there. There's not the max activity happening at the moment because we're in a dead zone. It just seems to be every sort of summer period. I mean, I had this like last year and year before. It's like there's nothing to play. I mean, when I talk about what I've been playing in a second, it's literally nothing. But yeah, literally, there's a bunch of stuff going on, topics and stuff. I mean, I did have a topic planned for this week, but it's sort of fallen flat because I found this article that I want to talk to you about. And it's interesting to me. Hopefully, we can sort of, show some interest in it. And I'll explain when I get to it. But yeah, also, don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter, @MLRGamerRadio. You follow me and I'll follow you back. That's the way I do it. What else is there? Just trying to think. Don't forget, go morelikeradio.com, /live, 9 o'clock UK time, 4 p.m. Eastern, when you'll hear me live, except for next week when I'm repeating myself. Go morelikeradio.com, look at all the shows, there's tons of shows on the station. We're, it's an amazing network. What amazing lineup of shows, and you should be listening to everything like I do. It's going to be a really fun event this weekend, and I can't wait. It's going to be really, really good. What I've been playing. Let's have a look. Not much. Stuff I got for free as well, which helpful. I've been playing a little bit of Dead Space 3, which I've finally managed to download. I sort of left my PlayStation 3 on for 6 hours while it downloaded 12 gigs from Dead Space 3, and then installed it, which took like another half an hour. I've just sort of, bought it. Not bought it, rather. It's because I don't have the game as a disc version anymore. I've got the, what the hell is it? The download that we got from PlayStation Plus. And it's fun. I mean, the controls feel a bit clunky because I'm sort of using not the standard PlayStation 3 controller I bought because, I think I threw that against a wall and it smashed into a million pieces. But I'm using like this one that still has a cable attached. And it's quite fun. It's Dead Space. I'm a big fan of Dead Space. It's an amazing game series. Hopefully we get the fourth sometime soon and sort of wrap up the story because Dead Space is great, but it's not a game. It's not one of the series you can sort of drag out forever and ever and ever like you can with sort of Assassin's Creed, that sort of stuff. It's literally, you need to finish the story off with the next game and then end it and then just come up with something else, But yeah, it's really good. I was ranting and raving over the past, when I first started doing a show about how good Dead Space was, and it is. It is a really, really fun game. The controls do feel a bit clunky. I mean, I think it's probably because I haven't played it in so long. It's a lot of fun, and, just killing necromorphs. Necromorphs is as fun as it always is. I'm playing it on the casual difficulty because I'm not really that fussed about trying to do normal or hard. I'm just sort of playing it to have a bit of fun with because there's literally nothing else coming out until I get back, which pretty much consists of... I mean, I know The Last of Us Remastered has come out. I do want to pick that up, but I'm not in a super big hurry for it. I mean, I'm more interested in playing the Metro HD Redux version that we're getting, which comes out in about 3 weeks. I'm more interested in that, and then I've got Destiny as well, which is coming out after that. Those are more on my list than sort of Last of Us, which I do want to pick up, but... I'll probably wait till I come back from the States and see how much cash I got in my pocket before I actually even think about buying this stuff. Dead Space 3, really good. I haven't got too far into it. I've sort of done the prologue and then did the first bit as Isaac, where you've just got to the Unitologist's sort of little base where basically everyone's slaughtered and there's blood everywhere. Dead Space is such an amazing game. It's the detail and everything. It's such a good game. I pretty much got that far. I'm sort of just taking it slowly because not in a hurry to play stuff at the moment because I'm more worried about trying to get to the States and do all this sort of stuff. In my travel bag that I'm taking with me, I've got Mario Kart 7 from a 3DS. I'm bringing my Pokemon game with me when I go to the Pokemon Center just in case there's anyone there because the schools are off. Anyone wants a battle, then fucking we'll throw down. Also bringing the Star Fox 64 3D remake, HD remaster, you know, that up for my 3DS as well as Donkey Kong, which I haven't played too much of. But yeah, so basically, when I do come back, I'll have some stuff to talk to you about that I've been playing. But yeah, I say it's, you know, Dead Space, it's good, you know, Dead Space as ever. And pick it up while it's free on the PlayStation 3 at the moment, because it's going to change over soon. I've got, you know, one of my news articles is what we're going to change, what the new PlayStation Plus stuff is for this month. So, you know, download it now. It's really worth it. Also, something else I picked up for the PlayStation 3. It was all part of the PlayStation Plus. Vessel, the game's called. I haven't got too far into it, but it's very fun. I mean, I'm sort of playing this game. I'm looking, I'm watching it. I'm like, sort of my jaw's hanging open, and sort of like, wasn't too sure if this is like really good or sort of what the hell expression was on my face. But yeah, it's basically, so the game starts off with like sort of pictures of like a factory, and there's workers, but they're not human. They're like some sort of water based automatons, if that's the best way to describe it, I think. Possibly. Sort of they're doing stuff in the factory, and then basically you start off as this guy, he's watching stuff happen, and then suddenly this water automaton sort of is made and then locks you out of the factory, and you've got to sort of, it's basically one big giant puzzle solving game, which, you know, is, I do like. It did remind me of sort of Braid when I was playing it, and sort of Abe's Odyssey, you know, the sort of, you know, Oddworld games. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I mean, I'm stuck at a puzzle at the moment, but it was just before the show I started playing this, so I haven't got too far. But I did save my game, and I will go back to it later and be playing this more. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, the puzzles that I've been doing at the moment are quite simple. I mean, the one that's got me stuck at the moment, because I'm sort of trying to work out what to do. But I mean, there are various ones. It's sort of switches and, you know, because, I mean, there's various of these other water automatons throughout the game. And I think it was one of those, like, I was pushing these lights on this switch, trying to get one of the characters to run by this wheel, this sort of dial thing, and he sort of spins it as he runs past it. And then he sort of, I'm just trying to think of the way to describe it. He sort of turns the wheels, and it opens up doors, and there's like a lot of door opening puzzles, and it's all very simple at the beginning, but I know the puzzles will get a lot harder and, you know, more challenging. But it is a really fun game. I do recommend, as I say, it's free, so everyone should be downloading it anyway. But yeah, give it a go. It's really fun, and I mean, you know, tons of fun enjoying this game. But yeah, so, you know, as soon as I finish the show, you know, I will be playing that game for a little bit. But yeah, nothing really I've played. I mean, I do want to sort of play some more Bar Oasis. I did play, stop, pick that up a little while ago. I haven't played any of it this week. But yeah, sort of more Pokemon stuff, usual breeding, doing well on that. You know, I've bred like several Pokemon today, so hopefully I'll have all, you know, the ones pretty much done soon, because I'm getting bored of it, but I just sort of want to get it all done so that it's done, and then I can sort of focus on, you know, whatever happens with next year's VGC ruling, what Pokemon we can use, that sort of stuff, so I can sort of work on a team. But yeah, I mean, usual stuff for Pokemon. That's pretty much it for games I'm playing, because I'd say there's not much out, and the stuff I do want to play does come out at the end of this month and start of next, because literally, you know, it's, what have we got? We got like, we've got, you know, Metro coming out at the end of August. We've got, you know, Destiny at the start of September. And then we have one or two things that I want to pick up in October. And then literally November, it's solid. Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, Dragon Age. It's a whole bunch of stuff. And basically, yeah, sort of waiting at the moment. I mean, I do want to actually, I was going to do this week, but I completely forgot. I'll probably sort of do this when I come back from America. And I'm sort of sitting at home trying to get used to the jet lag for a couple of days. I'll do my bad playthrough on Infamous, because I do want to get that done and finish that game off completely. Yeah, so there's not much to play, and you know, do as well. Tell me what you've been playing. Send me an email, send me a tweet. You know, to put a message on the Facebook page. Let me know what you've been playing, because I am just interested. It's something I should be playing if I'm missing out on stuff. But yeah, I say not much to play, because basically it's not much else. Stuff I should play, but money's sort of tight at the moment. I'm sort of donating here and there and helping people out and, you know, stuff I could have to myself, but, you know, be a good friend and help other people out is my motto at the moment. But yeah, this got leads into this week's topic as such. I saw this article on IGN, and it interested me because it talks about Assassin's Creed Unity and the fact that basically there is no multiplayer, it's more co-op. I think I might have talked about this before, but it does... I would like games to be more like this in the future. I mean, the stuff like Destiny, you've got your co-op missions in the main game, and then you've got your multiplayer, you know, your multiplayer stuff. Your multiplayer, you know, you play versus player in the multiplayer, rather. But, you know, it says here, is online co-op the future of video games? Assassinations might be more fun with friends. Yeah, so that starts off. At E3 2013, fully immersive was the go-to marketing catchphrase used to characterize the dawn of the new console generation. Consistent with the... perfunctory? Facade of flashing lights and booming speakers, decorates with Los Angeles Convention Center year after year. Publishers gleefully show off their interpretations of what elusive immersive experience should consist of as far as they saw it. But to enhance visuals or new engines, state-of-the-art visual reality support, or transforming living rooms into an all-in-one entertainment playground, this was next-gen as we'd come to expect. And if you didn't know it beforehand, you surely did thereafter. I agree with that. But, I mean, some of the stuff is like, you know, virtual reality. I'm more augmented reality, as you've probably known. But, yeah, I agree. But let's carry on reading. Fast forward a year and the parameters which delineate the next-gen landscape appear to have slightly shifted. Gone are the days where flashy visuals, higher polygon counts, and equally greater frame rates solely optimize new console cycles. These are now criterion. What the fuck is that? I don't know. It's all right using big words when you write articles, but don't confuse what the hell you're trying to say by using big words. You're just fucking Russell branding it. Basically said greater. Now critical when we've grown to expect each passing generation. But just though, when it comes to graphics and stuff, there's only so far you can push it, so then you're going to have to work on something else, which is basically what I read a second ago, which basically they want to push on like virtual reality and stuff like this. But, I mean, this was like a year or so ago, and, you know, as it says in this article, things have shifted, and I've noticed a shift, and I expect many of you lot have noticed a shift as well. Now several months into the new generation, the implementation of online co-op and most importantly, how it is integrated with the single-player sphere seems to have thrust its way into the foreground of what defines next-gen. The concept, for better or worse, is something the games industry wants to get us excited about. But it doesn't feel... I've always thought for a while, you know, back when we was playing sort of Call of Duty 4, stuff like this. I mean, because what you understand, when it comes to multiplayer co-op, it all started with multiplayer. It all started with Halo. It all started with Call of Duty. It started that, you know, back then, you know, 7 years ago. And stuff was evolving all the time, which is basically, you know, how you see games. You know, if someone, you know, the tons of you lot, you know, people who followed the Call of Duty series, you'll see how each game has differentiated from its from the previous one, you know, Call of Duty 4 to Modern Warfare 2, Warfare 3, or with, you know, World of War, Black Ops, Black Ops 2, how it's sort of escalated. They've each taken bits from each other and evolved into a game which feels better to play further on, which is, you know, I mean, we sort of hit the speed bump and the blockage in the road with the recent Call of Duties where... I'm hearing tons of people say they'd rather play Black Ops 2 than actually play Ghosts. And I've seen several videos on YouTube telling me the exact same thing. I've always had a thought of certain games, you know, Assassin's Creed, for example. It'd be nice, you know, when we got Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. There's all these other assassins. I mean, probably earlier from the original Assassin's Creed, it's like, yeah, all these other assassins with you. How good would it be to play with other people? But yeah, I mean, Just because you have a game that has multiplayer functionality, it doesn't mean that you can't be have your own wingman or It's basically, the whole co-op concept has been a thing since games were developed. I'm thinking now, playing the Rogue Squadron games, on the N64 and the GameCube. There was one mission where basically we were in Y-Wings. How good would it be to have, the Battle of Hoth. You're in a speeder. And you've got, your person next to you is an actual real person, or your support gunner in the snow speeder. You're piloting, and say like I've got Sean from Hippo Juice. He's he's behind me. He's my support gunner, and helping me take down the Imperial Walkers. How good would that be? Or a whole team of you. I say this now, right? But I know we're going to get this with Star Wars Battlefront. We have to. It'd be great to do this sort of stuff, and there's no reason why we shouldn't. It's a great idea, and it's not exactly a new idea. It's something that's been around for donkey's years, but now it's only sort of come to. It seems like it's only seemed to come to light because we've gone through everything that we can possibly do with certain games when it comes to. I talk about Call of Duty, it evolved, but now it's like, we're bored of like shooting the shit out of each other, let's work together. And it's like, well, this has been around for a while. I'm not gonna have to sit down and think about this when I'm off the air and that. What could come next? We have the multiplayer, we have your co-op, and to be honest though, we have the multiplayer games, 6v6, whatever. It does have a baseline element of co-op. No one ever plays together. Not in the game matches I've seen. No one's ever played together, co-op wise in a Call of Duty 6-on-6, like team deathmatch. It's pretty much been every man for himself. There's been several times. I could name several times it's like I've been playing a Call of Duty match or some sort of multiplayer match, and then I saw some guy who was next to me, and I'd sort of follow him around the map, and he'd follow me around the map, and we'd sort of take out enemies left and right, and that was only one or two times. Stuff like that, it's not something new. It's something that's been around for a long time. It's just taken, I don't know. It's just taken a bit of time to sort of permeate and rise to the surface and appear in the public's image or the developer's image for that matter. But I do wonder what other stuff that is there that I haven't thought about yet, the baseline of how we can take our multiplayer experience further, playing with others. Back in the day it was couch co-op, now it's online multiplayer co-op. They're trying to bring back the whole couch co-op stuff, even though it's not really needed, because people on my friends list for my Xbox and my PlayStation, some of them live a couple of miles away, but we're not really going to come around each other's houses, we're grown adults, so we don't really do that sort of stuff unless it's involves beer. But there is an element to it, basically. The fact that, with the co-op stuff and people on your friends list, you don't really need to go around each other's houses anymore. You can, you can play for the benefit of your own house, which means you don't have to go out or get up, or you can just sit there and play. I can say, Royce is online, or Jack's online, or such and such online. Let's go and play something together. But, We'll see. But no, I'll carry on with this article. Leading the cooperative charge is Ubisoft. The majority of its latest and forthcoming titles lean heavily on the appeal of hybrid, seamlessly interchangeable single-to-multiplayer adventures. When it's released earlier this year, Watch Dogs boasted competitive drop-in multiplayer bouts, accessible anytime via protagonist's cell phone, which allowed a welcomed layer of depth in addition to the game's single-player missions. I'm going to talk about that for a little sec.
yeah, that was, it was kind of fun. Like, you know, seeing the missions pop up and people were challenging you. But I'm like, I don't really want to play. I mean, trust the thing. I liked what they wanted to do with the whole multiplayer stuff for Watch Dogs. I mean, I actually didn't get involved once. It was one of those, there was someone hacking you, try and find out where they are. And it's like, yeah, so I mean, it's a pain because I was in a mission when it should, and it was sort of like doing a mission with important mission it was, and I got someone invaded my game. I'm like, I really don't want to do this right now. It's nice that you wanted to do this, but I'm like, yeah, I'm not fussed, and I'm, you know, not amused, and I'd rather not do this. But so basically, just sort of let the guy hack me, and I'm like, yeah, okay, can we just get this over and done with? I mean, yes, it's a fun little concept, but I'm not really sure a lot of people did it. I mean, your achievement hunters, your people who want trophies and stuff, they all do this because I think there's like achievements and stuff attached to it. But I'm not fussed. I just want to get through the game, get to the end, and then, you know, play through it again. Which I need to do that. I need to sort of play through Watch Dogs again. But yeah, I mean, the whole multiplayer stuff, I never really bothered with it. It just didn't appeal to me. It looked nice and interesting. It's just I'm more of, it's like there's times when I want to play a single player game, and there's times when I want to play a multiplayer. I mean, the multiplayer stuff I'll probably do. It's like if it's in depth. Is it sort of? I think that's probably what it is as well when it comes to this sort of stuff. You know, I see like the Call of Duties, your Halos, your Destinies, your Battlefields. They're all in-depth, multiplayer-focused games where it's like customizable loadouts and stuff. Whereas I sort of feel with games like... I'm thinking Bioshock 2, but Bioshock 2 had a in-depth multiplayer to it, and it was really, really good. But, you know, stuff like Dead Space 2. Yeah, Dead Space 2. That's the thing as well. Dead Space 3... No multiplayer, just co-op. It did the whole Ubisoft thing before Ubisoft did it. But yeah, it's stuff like that. It feels tacked on with like Watch Dogs and Dead Space 2. Probably because it's not in-depth enough, but it's sort of not really needed because Watch Dogs, to me, it's nice that you could do that sort of stuff. But I see Watch Dogs as a more single-player game rather than something else, to be honest. But I mean, you know, I'm just trying to think what other games that I played that, I mean, you know, Gears of War, definitely multiplayer focused, that sort of stuff. But it's just when you do stuff like that, it just feels tacked on and not needed. I mean, there are single player games, and well, they're sort of multiplayer focused element games like your Call of Duties, your Halo, stuff like that. But stuff like Watch Dogs and a whole bunch of other stuff I could list. I'm just trying to think now. I'm just trying to look at my shelf, what I've got on there. But no, there's a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, that could have that sort of thing, but it just wouldn't work, and they didn't. But I mean, you know, Bioshock had its multiplayer. I think called the recent one. I think that had a bit of multiplayer in it. I think, I don't know. It's been so long. At least I played it and dropped that fucking game. But yeah, I'll carry on with this article because I'm sort of losing my train of thought. Where was I? Yes. What largely felt like a distraction in this instance, however, is something upcoming games Far Cry 4, The Crew, Division, and Assassin's Creed, Unity are set to capitalise on adopting more focused degrees of multiplayer cooperative interplay. Ubisoft is, of course, not alone in this designated push as games such as Bungie and Activision Destiny look to further this same modular diversity. But saying that, as well, just think about that, as I said, co-op stuff. Fable 2, Fable 3 had co-op. You know, you could play with another person in your world and, you know, do stuff together. That was doing it. There's sort of these games that are sort of above the curve and, you know, can see things better. But I mean, I'm just still trying to rack my brains about what could be the next thing. I mean, I don't know. I think it's probably the more how Destiny's do it with the MMO focused item drops and stuff like that, like, or how it's done with Borderlands. I mean, I know me and Stuart played Borderlands 2 like non-stop for a good while, and he was helping me out when I got to sort of the higher levels, giving me guns and stuff that were really powerful and helping me through all the bosses, and yeah, that sort of stuff, sort of power leveling here is really, really helpful. But all of this begs the question, do we really need or even want such online co-op intrusion? Well, co-op intrusion from Watch Dogs, yes, we don't need it. But it's all very well being told we need something, but another accepting its worth, one need only look as far as Microsoft and its Xbox One U-turns over the past year to appreciate how publishers can, in fact, get it wrong. Oh, excuse me. Where was I? Yeah, here we go. Yeah, get it wrong on occasion. Is this boosted level of integration invading our single player franchise? Co-op is a massive part of the new game, says Alex Hutchinson, the creative director of Far Cry 4, during the game's co-op gameplay trailer at this year's E3. It's one of our biggest ways of opening up the world. Opening up the open world and letting you play it as any way you want. The demo showcased how players can join forces in tackling some of Far Cry 4's best known features, such as outposts, fortresses, towers, for example, without affecting the single player campaign. Like Watch Dogs, the cooperative inclusiveness on show here looked appealing. However, it could be argued that playing any way we want should fall first and foremost under the canopy of single player. Exactly. I mean, it's why we don't really have. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if this is the best. If I can say, what the hell was it? If I can say, Elder Scrolls. Sorry, literally, I was thinking about it. I couldn't remember what the fucking game's called. Yeah, the Elder Scrolls games like Skyrim and Morrowind and Oblivion and Arena and Hammerfell and they're single player focused games. But now we have the Elder Scrolls Online, which is co-op stuff. I haven't really heard too much about it, but. I'm guessing people are having fun with it. I mean, I haven't heard any bad stuff about it, I'm sort of interested in. I don't know. I say with your co-op stuff, right? I mean, they talk about here with Far Cry. I mean, one of the biggest things I had with Far Cry was the most fun I had with it was doing the stuff like your outposts and your fortresses and taking them over, and. I didn't really need anyone with me because I was having so much fun just doing it on my own. Sort of sneaking around a silenced pistol, and that's what I did with Watch Dogs as well. When I'm taking over the enemy hideouts, just walking around, shooting all the bad guys without being seen. That sort of stuff. It's funny because I don't think I could trust anyone to have my back and play the game as well as I could play it. I mean, I'm not the best game player in the world, obviously not. But it's like, I'd rather just sort of do something on my own. That way I know if I fucked up, it was on my own back and I could just sort of simply restart. But the co-op stuff is fun. I mean, me and Sean from Hippodromes, we played the Call of Duty, I think it was Modern Warfare 3. I can't remember what the missions were called, but they were like, sorry, I'm really tired. A long day trying to get all this stuff sorted. But we did the co-op missions for Modern Warfare 3, and we had a lot of fun with that. We got through a whole bundle of them, and had great fun doing it. Half the stuff when it comes to doing objectives, unless the reward is really worth getting, I'd rather just do it on my own, to be honest. I mean, you can have a lot more fun if you do certain things. I mean, if it's a whole gun blazing event, what we're getting with Destiny, I'd say, let's go for it. I mean, some of the stuff that we're going to get with Assassin's Creed Unity, with the co-op stuff, that can be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing how well that works. But I'm just sort of worried about, I don't know. I think it's probably because I've never really done too much co-op stuff. I mean, my co-op experience pretty much sticks to, me and Stuart played Dead Space 3, Sean and I played Call of Duty, but I don't know. I was trying to find the people who you can play games. This is kind of stupid to say. Play games seriously with, you know, have fun and investment with, is basically what I'm looking for. But I no doubt that, you know, when it comes to Assassin's Creed, I'll probably find some people on there sort of playing the game, you know, playing the game really seriously, and, you know, we'll have lots of fun with it, and, you know, being as stealthy as possible you can. Sorry, I'll carry on reading. Likewise, since Assassin's Creed Unity was first released, first teased in March, Ubisoft has spoken rather candidly about its aim to incorporate online co-op features, while blurring the lines between the game's single and multiplayer settings. Playing with friends means the combat is cooperative, deeper, and more challenging, says Leslie Ford Toy, the game's producer, during Unity's E3 co-op gameplay trailer, perhaps suggesting the game will be less involving in single player mode. Unity's single player E3 demo also concluded with the player being flanked by three other multiplayer allies. Again, suggesting that single player playthroughs will, or at least could, be seamless. Seamlessly interrupted at any time. I'm hoping that's that you can have people from your own friends list join your game, not just a bunch of random sort of show up into your world. That's what I liked about with Fable. You could turn off the orbs you see with other people, and they couldn't invite themselves to your game unless you actually wanted them to. And it sort of made things more structured, and, you know, it brought a sense of order. It's like, yeah, you can't come to my world unless I want you to, and I don't want you to. Whereas, you know, just having people sort of drop in, drop out is good, but you've got to have a way to turn it off. Otherwise, you could just get some randoms in who will just basically fuck up your shit, which, to be honest, anyone will say we don't really want. Let's carry on reading. Sorry, let's scroll down. Granted, long gone are the days of huddling around the once coveted multiplayer at a mate's house. Like I said, you know, counter co-op. Hell, even local split-screen co-op are a dying breed. Of course it is. I mean, to be honest, the first, you know, sort of split-screen co-op that I know was GoldenEye, which was a lot of fun back in the day. It really was. Limited almost entirely to the indie spectrum. But why is it that we're faced now with such emphasis on enthusiasm for the shared narrative? Perhaps the always-on rhetoric touted at E3's 2013 has finally infiltrated popular opinion, or perhaps pushing social inclusiveness. Sorry, let's read that again. Yeah, maybe, but I mean, yeah, the whole always-online stuff, I don't really think... I mean, just that always online thing was a big thing anyway. The fact there was outrage of it, but to be honest, my internet's on now. It's pretty much on all time. I'm indoors because, you know, on Facebook or Twitter or whatever social bullshit I'm on at the time. But I mean, I'll carry on reading. Sony updated its start select makeup of its DualShock 4 in favor of its share button, which is, I'll admit, it's okay. I mean, the controller is the button, the whole touchpad thing is way too fucking big, and it would be nice to have a start select, which is basically just the other button on the right hand side anyway, next to the touchpad. But the shares one's okay. I mean, I was talked about last week, sort of messing around with like screenshots from Destiny and having some fun with that, which I hear a lot of people doing with The Last of Us, having some fun with that as well. It's part and parcel of progress, which similar. Much similar to how online multiplayer planted its flag amongst FPS console ranks last generation, whereas monetization is likely an influencing factor as far as plug-in multiplayer settings and are concerned. There are no obviously physical motivation within the context of online co-op. I guess that makes sense, to be honest. As a consequence, casual players will likely be there, be those hit hardest by such incidents. As a consequence, casual players will likely be those hit hardest by such incident online cooperation. When players when playing online, dropping in and out of games or playing in short bursts becomes increasingly difficult as you are suddenly partly responsible for other players' experiences, not just your own. Video games are the only medium where its interconnectivity has any level of profound impact, as watching Netflix independently from, but at the same time as a friend, has no real bearing on the shared experience. Yeah, I guess, you know. That said, it is unlikely that the concerted drive towards online co-op will be the death of single-player mode, as there are still plenty of games flying for the solitary flag for single-player ventures. Games like Skyrim, Grand Theft Auto V shows there is still a distinguishing demand for solo campaigns in the open-world array, whilst the indie sphere continues to create classic boutique adventures in the likes of Stanley Parable and Gone Home. But I suppose just because we have co-op, just because we're going to have more co-op based games if this actually takes off, doesn't mean it's going to kill the single player. I mean, you know, part of me is like, yeah, I like to play with other people, but then other part, you know, fuck it, the show's called Antisocial Gamer Radio for a reason. It's like, yeah, I'd rather just say, yeah, leave me alone, I'll play on my own. It depends on how your mood is. Just because, you know, I mean, it's nice to have a game with it, but to be honest, it's like I said with the, when it comes to your multiplayer on your single-based games, it feels tacked on. Whereas from what we had, say, with Dead Space 3, with the multiplayer on that, me and Stuart did the whole fucking game in, like, co-op. The game was, it felt so tacked on. It has to be there from a, well, I mean, not that it has to be there from the start, but it has to be used better. Whereas, you know, there was real, so I'll go. I'll go to Dead Space 3 as the best option I can give. I played the whole game through single player my first playthrough single player all the way, and then when Stuart got, you know, we started playing some co-op stuff together. There was no joiner between the single player and the co-op stuff. I mean, in the main game, it was like, yeah, you were just Isaac Clarke running around killing necromorphs. But, you know, when it comes to the co-op stuff, it's like, yeah, it's you and this other guy doing the same shit. But there was no real different feel to it. It's sort of, yeah, he's there, but not. There was no, you know, there was no depth to it. There was no bulk or meat. It was like just, he was there. That's the best example I can say, and what everyone else says, it's tacked on. It just doesn't feel like it should be part of the experience that I'm having, or the experience that I'm having isn't bold enough or deep enough to fit what you're trying to show me. Whereas, basically, you need to go back to the drawing board and work on it and make it better than it was. When Sean and I were playing Call of Duty, it was like, yeah, I'm having that whole, that he's got my back, I got his. But I don't know, it has to be the nature of what we're playing. I mean, Call of Duty, yes, it's a military shooter. It's like, yep, I was the guy on one of the missions. It was like, one person's on the ground, the other one's like a security camera with like gun turrets and stuff. And it's like, yeah, you got to help your friend get through this such and such gauntlet type thing while shooting all these enemies, and you've got to make sure he's safe. It's stuff like that. It has to be, the whole objective of what you're doing with co-op has to be based on you two working together to accomplish something. Whereas Dead Space 3, it was like, yeah, it's not really this other guy's story whose name I can't even remember because he's so unimportant to me. Whereas, you know, Isaac Clarke, I've played for three games, and his story and his character means everything to me. But there has to be, for your co-op to work, there has to be the need to actually want to do what you're doing. It's like, yeah, I want to play co-op with my friends, but, I mean, say Assassin's Creed Unity is probably the best way to do that. It's like, yeah, we can all be assassins because, you know, assassins are cool and all sorts of, you know. It's like, yeah, we can all be this character doing whatever. I mean, I think that's where the whole happiness and I think it's kind of sappy to say, the happiness and joy and fun experiences are getting from MMOs, because, you know, it's people working together to accomplish a goal, but you've got to make us want to conquer that, you know, goal, climb the mountain, that sort of stuff, in a game, rather than just having something where it's like he just sort of feels like a side character. I don't know. It's hard to explain how it should be, but I can finish off this article. It says, coexistence will ultimately be the key, but games like The Division, Ubisoft's highly anticipated upcoming MMO with a distinctive cult focus could determine whether this is easier said than done, as publishers continue to target the next in thing and eighth generation marches forward. Yeah, I mean, that's what I say. The whole MMO stuff, it's going to take... the whole co-op gameplay is going to take a whole lot of inspiration from what we're getting with MMOs. I mean, I haven't played too many MMOs, to be honest. I think pretty much one, which is probably like Final Fantasy XI. But yeah, I mean, when I was playing that, there was some guy that I was playing with. We were going through one of the areas we were going through, sort of killing monsters to get money and stuff, and yeah, we were just sort of running around killing stuff. I mean, it was fun and enjoyable. I mean, I didn't play the game very long because I played the game for like a month, but yeah, it was what it was, but it was. But that's not the point. But there has to be the reason to do the co-op, to actually want to do it, not just because you can, like with Dead Space 3. I mean, Minecraft, games like Minecraft, yeah, you can play together and build stuff, which is fun. It's the whole point of the game is to build stuff. I don't know, I'm just trying to think about other games that could have the co-op player work with them. I mean, to be honest, basic level, essentially and unessentially, if you think you could say that Grand Theft Auto 5 was a co-op game, even though you were a single player, but with three different characters. So that's a sort of twist on the whole co-op concept. I don't know, I'm just thinking Hitman, would that be okay if they had a co-op element to it? I don't know, maybe. But I mean, I think the co-op stuff mainly extends to the military shooter variety of games. I'm just trying to think. I mean, you know, Borderlands had your co-op stuff. I mean, saying that, you know, talk about co-op like it's a new thing, but it's not. It's been out for a while, and the whole concept of what we want to do has been there for a while. You know, as I said, with, you know, Rogue Squadron, that sort of stuff. Sort of any game where you can play together would be, you know, very beneficial. But I just sort of think, you know, I think sports games as well, you got your co-op element in that. You know, your FIFAs, your Maddens, your NHLs, your NBAs, you know, stuff like that. I just think, I don't know, it's weird now. I'm just thinking out loud now. It's like, you know, I said, it's like it was sort of there but not. But it's not really that either. It's been there and we've seen it, but we've not really taken much notice. Because we have been doing co-op for a long time with your MMOs, your sports games. Just saying sorry to the microphone for hitting it. Your Call of Duties, you know, you're working together. But I think it's more of a co-op element in your single-player campaign, which is what's being brought to light here. The fact that it's actually during the main game, whereas co-op multiplayer has been a sort of main side feature. But, you know, stuff like Assassin's Creed Unity is showing the world and the developers that you can have your main story... you know, it can work together with other people. But I mean, trust, Fable's done that before, and so has Borderlands. So it's not really new, but maybe it's because I think a sort of Ubisoft that is riding high at the moment, because, I mean, sales for Assassin's Creed are still good. They've got a whole back catalogue, and, you know, where was that list? Let me just scroll it back to this article. I'm just trying to find where it is. Yeah, it was like, you know, you know, Watch Dogs, Far Cry 4, Division, stuff like that. These, you know, big Ubisoft titles, which are going to, you know, do even better for their company. You know, Ubisoft, you know, before Assassin's Creed was like, okay, you do your Splinter Cell stuff, those games are okay, and that's pretty much it. There was, you know, the Ghost Recon, it was the same military stuff again and again, but now you have various different types of games, and you know, Ubisoft has evolved as a company and developers and put out better and better stuff. But and they've basically become a sort of shining light for the games industry. It's like, yeah, we see what Ubisoft doing, but we've been doing it before, but how they're doing it, making it work, is basically how it should be done, sort of, to be honest. It's hard to explain because I'm talking and thinking at the same time, and that doesn't really work for me, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, Ubisoft is doing a whole lot for the games industry, showing the world that they can do co-op this way and make it work. And hopefully, I'm just trying to think, you know, Activision always does the co-op stuff, Gearbox with Borderlands. You know, hopefully with the Star Wars Battlefront game, we're going to have some decent co-op in it. I mean, there's a thing, it's like, co-op can work, but you've got to, it's like I've said, it's like, with like stuff like Kinect or Touchpad and stuff, any sort of concept you want to use, you've just got to make sure that the game works with it. Otherwise, if it doesn't, then you're basically just wasting your time. Because unless you're getting stuff, I don't know. I say, unless, you know, you have to make the game fit around what you're trying to do. But what you're trying to do has to be a good enough thing, a beneficial thing. It has to be worth creating interest for the gamer to play and do. Having stuff like the Kinect, where you can just basically dance around and move your hands and whatever, isn't that appealing when to the fact that, as I've stated many a time on this show, I can just press a button and do the same thing even quicker. You know, your touchpad, yeah, it's nice you can do that, but I've got an analog stick or a directional pad. You know, it does it even quicker than whatever it is you're trying to get me to do. But it's one of those things. I don't know. I say co-op can be, it's the article titled, you know, is online co-op the future of video games? It could be, but you've got to have the games there that people want to play to make it something that we'd want to play. Otherwise, you know, I mean, what other games out there? I'm just trying to think. What other games? Because I've got to take a break soon. And what other games are there out there that we could do co-op with? I mean, Hitman. To be honest, as I say, because I'm a big fan of the recent Hitman game, even though it came out a couple of years ago now, it wouldn't work for co-op. I mean, even the multiplayer faction, even the multiplayer that we do have for it, is pretty much a score sheet. It's pretty much, you know, who gets the best high score and stuff. Your single player campaigns, yes, but it's got to be in part of the game. I mean, just co-op stuff. I mean, I didn't play too much of it, but with Splinter Cell, it wasn't Double Agent, it was the one after. Literally, it was the last one with Michael Ironside as voice of Sam Fisher. It was that one. But yeah, they had some really good co-op. It was like there was a couple of other characters that you'd play as who worked for the agency. Yeah, that was fun. I think I played a little bit of that. But yeah, it basically all comes down to you've got to have your game. You've got to have that part of co-op in your game as a main focus, and it has to be used well. Whereas, you know, your Watch Dogs stuff, not Watch Dogs. Shit, I can't remember what the fuck I was talking about. But yeah, you've got to have it in the game to work properly, and you need it to be focused on what you're doing. Sorry, Dead Space, there we go. Yeah, always back to Dead Space. You've got to have it work from the very beginning. You've got to have the story. That's what I say, because, you know, the single-player story with Dead Space with Isaac, it was like, yeah, you're trying to find your ex-girlfriend and protect her and keep her safe. And then you've got this other guy who's there for what reason? Just because literally he's like the last soldier on Earth or some stupid shit like that. Yeah, it's you've got to have the game focused around it. So that might lead to stuff. I just think that might lead to stuff where we just have co-op only games. So as I say, they might kill the single player that way, but it would just lead to stuff like what we've got with like Resident Evil and Army of Two, where you could have, or Kane and Lynch, where you'd have your, you know, your co-op partner controlled by the computer AI, which is pretty much why they haven't done too much stuff, you know, when it comes to the co-op stuff, to be honest. Because, I mean, from what I've heard with Resident Evil, I mean, I've played all the Resident Evils, but with Resident Evil 4, no, sorry, 5, the co-op is like you're just using your other character as pretty much the pack mule for, you know, all your items. Army of Two, which I think one of the guys at Works played, he says he enjoyed it. I did play the Kane and Lynch demo that we got from, was it 100 Days or some, the second Kane and Lynch game was called. But that was okay-ish, but I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see what happens in the future when it comes to the co-op, because we can't really say now because, you know, there's games coming out. We'll see how it works. We've got to see how it works with stuff like Assassin's Creed Unity before we can actually make a clear judgment on it. I mean, it's nice that they want to do stuff like this, but say proof's in the pudding, and you've got to, you know, put out enough puddings to tempt us, really. And if it does work, then we get the whole evolution thing, going back to what happened with Call of Duty, how people were seeing how other people were doing their games and making it work. What can other companies do who want to do co-op games or games that have a co-op element to it and make it actually work, not feel tacked on, basically. Pretty much, that's it. Pretty much it in a nutshell. It's pretty much time for me to take a break, because literally I've been talking non-stop about co-op for a good thing. And it's just, I've already done the first hour, but I will be back in about 10 minutes with the second hour. I've got a whole shitload of new stuff and some game reveals, which I'm really looking forward to talk about. So keep it tuned in, and I'll be back in about 10 minutes, and I'll see you after the break.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest's ear off?
Colorado Dickhead said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric, what do they have, a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down there?
It was Monsignor Hendrix who did it. I just made that up. Thanks, Colorado Dickhead.
Father Clapton goes apeshit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes apeshit in church, and that is a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
I'm going to go with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
Conti and Kenny Show, Monday nights, 7 to 10, on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Yeah, we can't sell Betsy's milk to no one. Absolutely no one.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You can't sell that milk.
I got pain. It's my hair. Yo, I got pain. I'ma smell it.
Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread.
You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
The Orange Room, 9 to 11, Saturday nights on More Like Radio.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the drunk say?
I'm on your... fuck. Oof. Ah!
What the drunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises. Blah, 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 blah. I can't understand what the...
What does the drunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place, okay. Oh, let me, excuse me,
What the drunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the drunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, are you absolute garbage? Let me guess, an alcoholic? A drug addict? When was the last time you were even out of your house? Well, why don't you join us for The Red Show? We're all about personal betterment and self-esteem.
I want to do, maybe like City Meets the Swamp, something. Something.
I hope it ends up with the fucking city getting eaten by a goddamn alligator.
Ambassadors of peace, at any income level.
That's what we do here. We're all about olive branches.
No, you're a fucking white trash asshole. You're about Olive fucking Garden, okay?
One thing we don't forget is how important our fans are.
Is there anything more you want to say about any of these cocksuckers that are listening?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And we recognize the struggles and hardships of our friends.
We don't give a fuck. I hope you relapsed. Burn in hell, bull.
Oh, my God. What are you
I meant
doing?
I love you, bro. Get better.
So come join us live Wednesday nights and experience functional substance abuse on The Red Show. Only on More Like Radio.
You're doing some things with Enya, correct?
I hope you end your life. Now get off the microphone while I talk to my pal.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Pokemon doll.
Please, 10 Pokemon dolls are so last week.
What? Yeah, dude, don't you know? It's all about the Chimpokemon video game now. Did you bring your special Chimpokemon game controller? Huh? No.
Oh, you didn't get a special Chimpokemon game controller. Jesus Christ.
Chimpokemon, what is primary objective?
To destroy the evil power.
I've got to buy all the Chimpokemon so I can destroy the evil power. Oh,
damn it.
I've got to buy them all. So first I better go to Hawaii and visit Pearl Harbor.
Try to bum the haba. Did he?
Go. I must buy them all.
We must buy them all.
Try to bum the haba.
So the video game gave Kenny a seizure. Dude, this game rules.
And welcome back to the second part of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelightradio.com. As I said at the beginning of the show, don't forget, I am off next week because I'm in the States. But I will be back the week after with a brand new show covering basically what I've been playing, which will be what I'm playing on the flight, and basically what I got up to at the live events, and basically what else I got up to while I was in the New York, New Jersey area. But I have some good news for you. I have some, basically, a lot of Destiny stuff at the moment, and then I have some other big reveals that have been announced today and stuff that we got leaked yesterday, because Gamescom is, I think it's next week or the week after. A whole bunch of goody-goody stuff to talk about. But yeah, basically, I'll start off with Destiny. We got some there's some stats from the beta. Now, this is going to be tricky trying to do this because it's so fucking small. 1 second. No, that doesn't help me either. But yeah, we got a bunch of Destiny stats. Was it 6.5 million Guardians were created. Players play Destiny simultaneously. That's 800, basically 750,000 people play the game simultaneously. Companion users, 900, just under a million. Games played, 88,384,720. Concurrent players, 800, I've read that bit. Orbs of Light created was 182 million. About just under 4.5 million players, and basically it's about 6.5 million accounts. So basically, there's actually 2 million accounts for people who created multiple characters. And I created a couple, but then I deleted them. So I'm guessing I'm part of that. Was it? 3.7 billion kills. Not too many deaths, actually. We actually did pretty well. 164 million kills. Deaths. Average kill to death ratio was people in the beta was 22.53. What else we got? Yeah. Activities completed was 97%. Public events joined was 12 million, which I love the public events. I can't wait to do more of them in the main game. Public events completed was 97%. Guardians revived was 61 million, which is not bad considering that, how many people, died and stuff. That's pretty much half. So basically, people who play in this do actually care about other people, and which is nice. Crystal stats, other stuff here, sort of breaks down the Alpha and the Bravo. Yes, but 1 million people took part in the Iron Banner events. The Bravo team, was it 450 million kills? Yeah, just so much. Like, it's these stats are amazing, and this is only for a week's time of playing. But 777,000 use the app. I say that everyone is jumping on board with this game, and I mean, I know I've said it for weeks and weeks and weeks. But everyone else who's listened to this now, you need to jump on board with Destiny because everyone's going to be playing this game, whether it's on 360s, Xbox Ones, PlayStation 3s, PlayStation 4s. Everyone's going to be playing this game, and so should you if you're not playing it already. Well, when it comes out, you should be playing it. Okay, here we go. What was that thing I was looking for? Yeah, this is what I saw. I thought it was quite interesting. From GameStop, you know, this is a game, has something happened at GameStop. This is off GameSpot, by the way. GameStop now fingerprinting people trading games in Philadelphia to help fight crime. Retailer now requiring people who trade in games to provide a fingerprint scan as a means to assist local law enforcement. So there's an update on this article. It says GameStop has issued a statement on the matter saying the initiative was implemented at the request of local authorities. It had been in place since the beginning of July. It is a process that we have recently implemented starting in early July in Philadelphia area stores at the request of the Philadelphia Police Department. The GameStop representative said it is a practice we've already also put into place in other parts of the US. Depending on local or statewide secondhand dealer or pawnbroker's laws. However, at this time we are reviewing the process to determine if it's one which should be continued in Philadelphia. The original story says some GameStop sources in Philadelphia are now requiring people who trade in games provide a fingerprint scan for certain transactions. CBS Philadelphia reports today based on conversations with the retailer and local government, police and shoppers. According to the GameStop, it's following a local law that says the retailer is allowed to collect fingerprints, these scans eventually make their way to a database that helps law enforcement nab thieves who seek to use GameStop as a pawn shop of sorts to unload their goods. Philadelphia City is Solicitor Shelley Smith says the GameStop is not required to collect thumbprints to abide by City's pawnbroker order. What GameStop does doesn't meet any of the elements of the definition of the code. So the pawnbroker ordinance doesn't apply to GameStop. It seems a bit harsh, to be honest, but I mean, if it's helping, you know, fight crime as such as it would, I guess it's a good thing, to be honest. I mean, you know, Philadelphia is a pretty tough place, known for its known for its high crime effort. There we go. Yeah. Mortal Kombat. This is some stuff I wanted to talk about. Mortal Kombat 10. This is from IGN. Kano leaks in German magazine. The images first appear on Twitter. While we haven't been able to verify them, suggest that one of Kano's three versions will use wrestling moves and possess a flying knee special attack. Series creator Ed Boon teased recently, we'll be seeing more characters revealed at Gamescom next week. Yes, yeah, so it's next week, Gamescom. So either one outlet has jumped the gun or the German market has been given a heads up. I'm going to say someone's jumped the gun, to be honest. Boom did a similar tease prior to recent fighting game tournament EVO 2014, where the studio revealed Raiden and his variations across three different styles. Gamescom is pretty much next week, so I will have something else to talk about when I come back. I'm trying to work out why we're getting all these three forms. What that means to people? I mean, it's going to be good, like all these different fighting styles and stuff like that. It makes it more fun. You can, you know, mess around with your character. You can, you know, there's not like some standard set for each character. It's like, yeah, you can play them differently and use them differently. I'm waiting to see what happens with that, to be honest. This is something that's popped up today, literally. Resident Evil 1, this is from Eurogamer. Resident Evil 1 remastered for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360. It says the original Resident Evil game is being remastered for the PC, PlayStation, blah, 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 blah. Due for a digital-only release in early 2015, the new port is based on the 2012's GameCube Resident Evil remake. The new version will include 1080p visuals. That's on the current gen Xbox 3, Xbox Ones and new PlayStation 4s, and 720p for the last gen consoles, and 5.1 surround support. There's no word yet on a European price, but it will cost over just under 4,000 yen, which is about £23 in Japan, where the last game console version will arrive before Christmas. Lucky fuckers. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I don't think it's just checked more to that call. Yeah, it says you'll be able to choose between playing the game in its classic 4.3 ratio or 16:9 widescreen, and have a choice of control styles. There's a new scrolling camera too, which appears to be a compromise between a more dynamic camera option and the original's fixed angles. Yeah, the classic Resident Evil control scheme remains for purists, along with a more modern style for moving characters more easily in the direction of the analog stick. Blah blah blah. A grainy image first appeared on the online this morning via Famitsu, showing the game's iconic mansion in its GameCube redesign. Resident Evil first released in 1996, on the original PlayStation, but was then remade from the ground up in 2002, a version which was later ported to the Wii. Ironically, there's no Wii U version of this port planned, despite the Resident Evil remake originally being a Nintendo exclusive. Yeah, that's pretty much it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I really am. I mean, I had a GameCube back in the day, and I sort of wish I'd had this game, but to be honest, now I do get a chance to play this game. I'm looking forward to this. Really, I am, because it's like, you know, The Evil Within is a really good looking game that I really want to play, but you have your not as this is I mean they start the article saying the original Resident Evil games being reblasted. This isn't the original, because the original was PlayStation, but the GameCube remake of this is being sort of HD, and I'm looking at the screenshots as well. It looks so, you know, cutting edge, to be honest. No, it does look really good, and better control scheme. Yeah, it's going to be so good to play this, you know. And maybe they update certain bits. I mean, I watched a review by, like a preview from Eurogamer this morning, and they talk about new puzzles and bits and pieces like this. How better the graphics are going to look. I can't wait. I mean, you know, it's going to be dark and scary. And in fact, I never played this on the GameCube when it came out about 12 years ago. Wow, it's a long time ago. But I am looking forward to picking this up now. I know it'll be one of my purchases for 2015 anyway, because, you know, I want some old school classic. What do you call it? I want some old school classic Resident Evil. You know, some good Resident Evil. And you know, this is this sort of the old Nintendo one, but it's probably as good as we're gonna get. Got this off IGN. Assassin's Creed Rogue listed by Swiss retailer. Swiss gaming retailer World of Games might have accidentally leaked the last-gen version of Assassin's Creed due to hit Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 this fall. According to product listings, which has been removed Assassin's Creed Rogue is set to be released on this fall on October 28th, the same date as Assassin's Creed Unity releases for the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. Yeah, this could be the rumoured Assassin's Creed comic that was leaked earlier this year. I've got to say it pretty much is, to be honest. And it's set to star Shay, a sailor and Templar in 1758 New York, serving as a direct sequel to Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. On an investor call a few weeks back, Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot said that more information on the last-gen game would be coming soon, but we have yet to hear anything more since then. So, as Gamescom's next week, I'm going to say we're going to hear something hear something next week. And we do have the trailer, which I have posted on the old show's Facebook page, so, you know, give it a like and have a look, or basically just go on YouTube and have a look yourself. It basically starts off, you're some guy, and he's saying about how he used to be an assassin. Then he joined for a Templar, and he sort of hunts the assassins down. It does look really interesting. There's like ice and snow and like boats and stuff. So it could be pretty much, I don't want to say it. I don't want to ruin it. But I mean, it could be a sort of reskin version of Black Flag, where it's got your sailie stuff, but it's sort of set more northern, sort of there's icebergs and stuff. So maybe towards Canada and New York. Maybe. I don't know. because 300 years ago, there was a lot more ice up there than there is now, to be honest, because it's all pretty much the size of an ice cube. But yeah, I mean, More Assassin's Creed is good, and this is going to be pretty good. As I, I'll probably end up picking it up as well and chucking it on my PlayStation 3. But yeah, it's going to be good. We get more stuff next week. We hear about it at Gamescom, hopefully. What else we got? Let's have a look. I did have some more stuff on Destiny. Where's that gone? Here we go. Yeah. I know I was a whole big load of stuff from Destiny. Here we are from IGN. Destiny, the end game is only the beginning. The Destiny you play after 20... No, thank you. I don't want you fucking popping up. Definitely play after 20 hours is like to be very different than the Destiny you play up to until then. If Bungie's Luke Smith has anything to say, has any say in the matter. It says, I think Destiny's end game begins as soon as you see the way the story ends. Smith begins. As soon as you see the way we wrap up the sort of first piece of the adventure that you're going to tell, because we want to set you back into the world to keep you going. We want you to try and align your motivations as a player with the motivations of the character who you've been pushing around this world. So far, I think there's a bunch of end game stuff. Right, end game starts at level 20, which is going to be. I said about this the other week. I was worried that it was going to be level 20 and that would be it. So. I mean, Destiny could be like 5 games where it's like 20 levels each, and then the final one you get to level 100. But that should be pretty fine, to be honest, for everyone. If you know, it's level 20, you've got 3 different character classes, and you've got subclasses. We'll see how it goes. But I can't remember. A big part of this is raids. Though Bungie has been careful to distance itself from the traditional MMO terminology, such as instances and raids, the non... nomenclative is very much applicable to the upcoming shared world shooter. Story quests are like instances for you and your fire team, while raids, such as something Bungie hasn't spoken much about until now, are one of the Destiny's most intriguing and mysterious elements. According to Smith, raids are in fact one of the pillars of the game. Raids are extremely crafted. 6 players, friends only gauntlet run that might be best described as gut checks. Yet, yes, they will be difficult and they will absolutely require communication, cooperation. There we are, co-op stuff. That's why Bungie isn't supporting matchmaking for them. The developers don't want them to be played by disparate groups of. I think they spelled that shit wrong. Yeah, desperate groups of strangers, but Smith is quick to point out that they're not the strikes. Not like strikes, the instance dungeon-like runs that take a mere 20 to 60 minutes, but more like MMO raids in that you're going to want to buckle up and get comfortable for a couple of hours, which actually sounds very exciting, to be honest. The activity is going to take you and your group of 5 buddies into a place that you've never been. Smith explains, a place that you will return to frequently, and it will demand of you things you've never really been asked to do in a shooter before. But yeah, I'm interested. From what I play in the beta, I mean, taking out those bosses with other people, it's a lot of fun. You know, the Devil's Lair, which I'm thinking of here, and other people who've played this will agree with me. It's like, yeah, I've never really had to do a main co-op shooter taking out a boss with other people before. I mean, because I've never, you know, done that MMO co-op sort of stuff before. But this is, I can't remember. This brings in a number of unique challenges. Chief among those being, how do you use this in a shooter and make it fun? Smith has been pondering the same question. Oftentimes in MMO raiding, of which I have done a fair bit of, he begins. You end up battling against the UI. You're battling against your add-ons. You're battling against clicking, and it's not connect. It's not an actual game. He continues. How do we make something that leverages all of the feelings of the raiding that we understand from a game like Warcraft or EverQuest? Cooperation, relying on each other, teamwork, and how do you marry that with a game where you jump, shoot, and have abilities, supers, grenades that you activate? How do we bring those things together? And then on top of that, creates an activity where everyone in the activity has a job and they have a role. And that's the thing. See, it's all about the cooperation. And I'm sort of hoping, you know, what we still, I said at Carp earlier, I was like, hopefully with what we get with Bungie, with Destiny, and what we're getting with Ubisoft, with Assassin's Creed, it will blow open the whole co-op experience and, you know, develop it further with other developers. And then Swift added, ominously, it's getting people together and getting them into a group and making your way down to the vault of glass and seeing that what's at the bottom of it. If you can get that far. And this sounds exciting. This does sound very exciting. It's like, you know, I'd love to sit down and play Destiny when it comes out. And you've got me, Royce, Sean, Jack from Talk Radio Meltdown, a couple of other people I know, and we're all playing Destiny together, and we're doing, like, raids and stuff. And we've all got each other's back, and just killing enemies left and right, and getting loot drops. You know, having so much fun with doing this shit, you know. That's not to say that raids will be impossible, but this is Bungie, after all, a studio famous for challenging fans with the legendary difficulty setting in its Halo games, which, yeah, it's fucking hard. One of the things we've never talked about, we haven't really talked about raiding at all, Smith starts, one of the things we certainly haven't talked about, for fuck's sake, Jesus Christ, we just get to the bloody point, about it is raids aren't an actual... aren't an activity that we expect you to go through the first playthrough, unlike a bunch of other activities in Destiny, which you begin the activity, like the way you pick the level 22 strike playlist, everything that activity is going to be at level 22. It's going to be consistent. If you're level 26, you're going to have some relationship to it. You're going to be more powerful than the activity. In a raid, when the raid begins at level 25, it's not where it ends. Like, part of the raid is a journey of gearing up, building your arsenal to react to this situation that it's going to ask you to go through. So it's a challenge. It's a test. It's to see how well you play the game, how well you're doing with the game, and that's exciting. But I would say So can we get past, like, can we go further than level 20 if we start doing these raids? Is that what I'm reading? Probably not, but that would be nice. I mean, I'm very interested in, you know, getting better gear. And because, you know, I've seen a whole bunch of stuff, like gear and stuff you can get when you're at level 20. If you're, you know, you're the best Titan or Warlock or, you know, but... we'll see. In other words, you're going to suffer, but it's going to be fun kind of suffering that makes for a better water cooler moment with your friends later, and that will be partly fueled by the mystery involved. We don't adhere to any of the standard rules for the rest of the game, Smith says. Like, raids don't have waypoints, they don't tell you where to go, they don't tell you what to do. Given that what he's saying this, I agree, that sounds actually quite interesting. It's like you're on your own, but given the fact that the way how all gamers are interconnected, there'll be message boards. I mean, I've joined a couple of Facebook groups for Destiny over the past week or so, because I'm like, yeah, when it comes out, I want to have as much information as I can when I go into these raids or any sort of boss battle. You know, Facebook communities for Destiny and like Game Facts is going to have like message boards and stuff that are there. You know, half this information is going to be shared everywhere anyway. So basically, it's up to Bungie now to keep on top of all that and throw harder and harder shit at us. But what is it about raids that separate them from the rest of the game? Smith is quick to with an answer. He says, I think that the E3 experience video had the narrator talking about the hardest thing we've built, and we show a jumping puzzle. Like, the hardest thing we've ever built is a jumping puzzle. The jumping puzzle is just one part, but it's an interesting representation of the philosophy behind a bunch of the raiding, which is taking something simple, something that you've done, you understand, and then asking six of you to do together. In a nutshell, that's some of the philosophy that was driving raid design as we would build in the first raid in Destiny. It does remind me what he's talking about, the fact that, I watched a glitched video of Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the first Call of Duty 4. And it was like, you know, these people who were sort of climbing up walls like by glitching the game, and it was like a whole bunch of them all together. And that's sort of what it reminds me of. Yeah, surely something this epic and involved has to have an ultimate showdown, right? A boss. Obviously, we're going to have big, cool bosses. Smith reveals. That's cool. I've said to several people I've been talking to about this. I really want the big giant bosses, and you know, call me voices going. I really want the big boss enemies, you know, stuff like that to have fun with, and just you know, shoot the shit out of, and work out strategies, and you know, I mean, as I say, we're doing the Devil's Lair mission, trying to go against the Devil Walker, and you know, I was sort of like heading off in an alcove to the right of the map. Just shooting at its legs, it was sort of shooting back at me, but because of where I was, it couldn't really hit me properly. It did several times, but I'm trying to make sure I jumped most of the time. I think that we're giving people a taste in Strikes of what the bosses are and what they can do. The raid bosses are different. They're still big monsters, but much like what you'll be going to see, they're still scary, but they have a bunch of abilities that are unlike anything you've really experienced in a shooter before. And I don't say that to be a douchebag. I don't say it because it's cool bullet points. I say it because when we were building this thing, there was nothing that any of us have come to play and try to learn from. I mean, we were, as we were going, building and learning and failing along the way to find cool mechanics, and occasionally we'd succeed. But yeah, I mean, I have every every faith in Bungie when it comes to this sort of stuff, because you know what happened with like the fight. I'm trying to remember what the hell it's called now. I can't remember what it's called. Was it Firefight? I don't know. It was one of the big sort of like horde battles that happened. We got with Halo Reach. I can't remember what it was called. Raids are far from the only post campaign high level activity at your disposal. However. While Bungie confirms that there will be no new game plus mode, you will be given reasons to want to come back on a regular basis. This is a lot of what's going to drive you is going to be logging in every day and seeing what's in that featured article's pane on your director, and then going to the tower to get your bounties for the day. Bounties are this opportunity for you to create a parallel progression for what you're going to do, what you're doing for a day. It's like allowing you to optimize people. People love that. I mean, I love that. I mean, that's the thing that we do every night when a couple of us pretty much play every night from 6 until embarrassing o'clock. And we're like, the first thing we do is log in, grab the bounties, synchronize what we're going to do, and then either head off to play Explorer, and then we're going to tip over the daily activities. And if we haven't done it, we'll knock out the weekly nightfall activity and get our guys rolling. And then, like I do, that's all three of my characters. Yeah, so I was like, because you've got all three characters about, you can do this sort of stuff. Ask what nightfall activity is, because literally I'm wondering now. Smith explains, nightfall's activities come in two flavors, daily and weekly. They have extremely exotic rewards. We want to have activities that occupy the range of challenges for you, Smith says. Changing gear slightly if you're a fresh level 20, so you can play the Nightfall daily activities at level 22, and it's going to be hard. Because when doing missions, it was like, play at the normal one, or you can play a couple of levels ahead of you for a slightly harder. And I did that quite a few of the missions because I like a challenge. Destiny, because my aim was pretty good with Destiny, and I was getting sort of tons of headshots all over the place, and it's something I just wanted to keep doing. So trying harder, you know, more enemies, that sort of stuff, more of a challenge, more fun. It was one of the few games with Destiny with the beta. It's like, yeah, I'm having more fun being challenged by this than pretty much anything I've ever played before. But I'll carry on. Yes, the weekly nightfall activity is something that pushes all the way out as far as leveling allows you to go in Destiny. So it ends up occupying at the far end of the spectrum, extremely high gameplay investment challenge, like it's both the toughest guys we can throw at you, that's going to require the best gear, and it's going to have a bunch of modifiers on it that makes it even harder, which sounds fun. Back to the smorgasbord of endgame content. After level 20, there's a bunch of strikes that can be done that can become available to you. So the first thing you're going to do is jump into probably strikes and PvP. In strikes and PvP, you're going to be accumulating reputation with the Vanguard and also currency, and you can use that currency potentially to buy legendary gear, faster sparrows. So this is, well, the axes. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You're going to max out all your characters pretty quickly when it comes to this sort of stuff. Considering that, you know, weapons and stuff you can carry over between several characters. Since we can also look forward to a daily story chapter, Smith adds, which is good, you know. Still, it's clear that raids are what are the nearest and dearest to Smith's heart when it comes to Destiny's post-campaign content. But when he acknowledges that we might not please all players, raids are a really big bet for us, he explains. It's a risk that it's a bit of a risk because the activity requires you to have a group of five other friends to play with. Of course, Bungie employed the same tactic with Halo 3. Here we are, firefight mode. There we go. And the lack of matchmaking certainly didn't derail the game type's popularity. It's really fun. Even me, who's not really the big Halo fan, I had a lot of fun doing the firefight stuff. Like if the worst thing that happens is you get your group together and all you have is a great time and you make your way through the first difficulty level of the raid, well, that's going to be awesome. I bet you'll want to come back and hopefully the gear makes you want to come back. Well, yeah, of course, you're going to be probably decked out in the greatest fucking items you can get in the game, and the way they keep updating it, it's going to be good. But yeah, I'm so looking forward to Destiny. I really am. It's going to be a really good game to play when it does come out. What else we got? Let's have a look. I'm running out of time, as I usually am, but here you go. Some sort of profit. I've got some good numbers stuff here, actually. I'm sort of looking forward to having a good read-up. Yeah, this is my IGN. Capcom financials reveal steady profit despite no big titles. Capcom finally financial report for the first quarter of the financial year reveals the publisher's ongoing drive to increase efficiency is starting to pay dividends. Despite not releasing any major titles between April and June of 30th this year, the company saw operating income rise sharply to 1.27 billion yen compared to its 723 million from for the same quarter last year. This enabled it to offset a drop of its sales of 7.8 billion yen to 9.6 billion and a fall in net income of 63 million yen to 765 million. As the company explains, the company statement explains, although sales declined due to a lack of major titles, operating income increased on highly profitable repeat sales and costs. Yeah, I love that. Repeat sales. Yeah, basically people, you know, buying the same fucking copy of Street Fighter again and again and again. Cost reduction in each business segment. Dead Rising 3 has sales have risen to 1.4 million, but there's little else remarkable in the reports in terms of the year ahead. Monster Hunter remains in the franchise to watch. I'm tempted to pick up a Monster Hunter game. I really am. But yeah, sort of sales are doing good, even though they've got no games. You know, it's just it's weird. I mean, because I'm looking at this here, I've got this article from CVG. This is about Nintendo, what's going on with them. Mario Kart 8 nears 3 million sales, but can't drive the Wii U recovery. System sales remain sluggish despite year-on-year increase. Nintendo has sold more than 2.8 million copies of Mario Kart 8 since the launch at the end of May. That's not bad, considering. Yeah, that's. I mean, pretty much everyone who has a Wii U has Mario Kart, pretty much. That means nearly half of all the Wii U owners, which are believed to be at 6.6 million, have purchased a copy of the game, representing a significantly high attach rate. However, the latest entry in Nintendo's money-spinning racing series didn't manage to considerably broaden the system's appeal to new audiences. Yeah, because that's the thing. I mean, there has to be a limit on the sequels that we are getting. I mean, I know we get the Call of Duty stuff, and it's called like different titles each time, like given a different name each time. But when you've got, you know, Final Fantasy 14, and then 15, and then you've got Mario Kart 8, stuff like that, it puts people off. Because they'll think, well, do I have to play the previous one in the series? The fact that we're on number 8 now. That's why I've pretty much never got into the Mega Man games. Mainly because they're a bit too hard for me anyway. But it's one of those factors. About 510,000 Wii U consoles were sold during the first 3 months, during the 3 months ending in June, which represents a year-on-year increase, though not enough to make a meaningful change to lifetime system sales. The Wii U sales now stand at 6.68 million units. Nintendo plans to ship several major games for the console this year, including Smash Bros., Bayonetta 2, and Hyrule Warriors. It's very everything's very edgy at the moment for Nintendo. I mean, I want them to do well. I want them to pick themselves up, but it's just you've got nothing out there. You're making games for a console that no one wants. I mean, was it 6.6 million units? So you got like what, less than the population of London to buy your console? That's not very. It's not very good, to be honest. It could be better, but I don't know. It's a bit weird. Try and find something else to sort of wrap up the show with. Let's have a look at this. Here we go. From CVG, this Assassin's Creed stuff. Talk about Assassin's Creed Unity. Supposedly, Assassin's Creed Unity map image services. Picture shows close approximation of historical Paris. An image of Assassin's Creed's cloth map appears to depict the game's rendering of Paris, indicating the massive scope of Assassin's Creed Unity's playable area. Which means the fact that, I mean, okay, I'll read the scene because it's going to say what I'm going to say anyway. The image from the fan site across the Animus shows a vintage-style cloth map of the city, which is probably from the Legendary Edition or Collector's Edition or whatever the hell they're going to call it. Reddit users posted a comparison of the image to the late 18th, early 19th century map of Paris, showing a nearly one-to-one inclusion of everything from tiny blocks to massive monuments, which is what they said they were going to do in the first place. They said they were going to make Assassin's Creed Unity, the map, the exact size as it was, exact size and all the detail as it was in, 18th, 19th century Paris. Here we go. Yeah, the map. I'm scrolling too fast. The map was included as part of a gift package given to series collaborators. A Ubisoft representative has clarified that the map is not meant to reflect the in-game worlds. Probably not. Probably yes. While the cloth map, which actually wraps a paperweight guillotine, reflects historical Paris. It is not meant to be an in-game representation. That said, we are excited about the scope and scale of Paris in Assassin's Creed Unity that gamers will be able to explore on October 28th. Assassin's Creed Unity lead writer Travis Stout said an official podcast that he believes Paris will be 50% larger than Assassin's Creed 3's Frontier, the largest the largest single city we have ever done for an Assassin's Creed game. Assassin's Creed Unity, blah, 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 just released on October 28th on pretty much everything. Let's find some more stuff. To talk about. Okay, one second. Assassin's Creed Unity, I can't wait. It's going to be a really good game. Where was I? Here we go. No, I talked about that. Here we go, yeah. Probably finish off the show with this, to be honest. Epic Games acquires UK studio Pitbull. Trio have new offices to provide Unreal Engine 4 support. Unreal Engine 4 vendor Epic Games has purchased purchased UK developer Pitbull Studios, the company was revealed. Pitbull, which operates three separate studios across Britain, will now be integrated into Epic Games and assist in the development and support of the Unreal Engine 4. Financial details of the acquisition were not disclosed. While there is scope for the newly named Epic Games UK to provide development support on various projects, nothing has been announced. The new company's key purpose is to expand Unreal Engine's reach into Britain. As the company's biggest rival, Unity Technologies continues to gain support from the indie development community. Since 2011, the Epic Games has provided Unreal Engine support to its UK studios via its local executive, Mike Gamble, though it appears that the acquisition of Pitbull will stretch Epic's reach. Epic Games founder Tim Sweeney told Develop that UK developers can provide a major contribution, major contribution to the company. The UK has a rich history of games development as well as a wide range of experienced developers. We're also attached to the expertise in key areas like physics and lighting, enabling for the British universities such as Cambridge and Oxford. Right now, we're building a world-class talent pool in the UK to contribute to all aspects of the Unreal Engine 4. Our aim at Epic is to provide the world's best and most versatile engine, scaling from indie mobile development to high-budget AAA games. UK studios that license the Unreal Engine will include Lionhead, Rocksteady, and Ninja Theory. Yay. Some of my favourite studios. Pitball Studio was formed from the ashes of Midway Studios Newcastle, which closed in 2010. Robert Troughton, the company founder, said Epic's purchase of Pitball seems like a no-brainer for all of us. Everybody here is stoked that this is happening and very excited to see what comes next. Troughton's new role is General Manager at Epic Games UK. It's a very, very exciting time to be become part of Epic Games, and every single Pitball employee is super excited to be part of that. Yeah, so congratulations. I like the Unreal Engine 4. I think it's a really good engine. And you know, from the stuff that we've seen from demos and stuff, that what they want to do with like mobile games and you know main console stuff, go for it. You've got my vote. It's pretty much wraps up the show for this week. Don't forget. Up next is Alcohol by Volume, followed by Johnny Five's new show as such, My Time Now. Then coming up later, you've got Dutch and Royce. Don't forget to say you're listening to this next week. This is a repeat, haha. But I will be back the week after, which will be the 19th. So basically, Gamescom would have ended, but I will be covering all the news because literally when it goes on, I will be pretty much just coming back from America. So I'll try and get as much information as I can, which we'll be talking about on the show, which is on the 19th. I'll be talking about the live event, what I got up to, that sort of stuff. I can't wait to go. I'm sort of, it's nearly midnight here, which means I've got one more day to go in this country, and then I'm on a plane for like 7 hours. I just can't wait. It's going to be really good. But so, yeah, don't forget that this Saturday, the second annual More Like Radio event, the Otto Peterson tribute. Get yourself down there. It's 30 Park Street, Montclair, New Jersey, at Just Jake's. Goes from 1 till 4. Great comics, Mike Falcone, Joe Conti, Dave Satsik, Dan DeMarino, Johnny O is going to be there. Raffles, bands, giveaways, blah, 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 a whole bunch of stuff. Don't forget, if you can't donate, because we need your money, go to tinyurl.com/autodonation, because we need as much money as we can. If you want to get in contact with the show, email us. It's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to call in anytime, Skype is Antisocial Game Radio. It's all one word. Join our Facebook group, which I highly recommend. facebook.com/group/MLGamerLobby. Also, you can like us on Facebook. facebook.com/AntisocialGamerRadio. Really appreciate that. Don't forget, also follow us on Twitter @MLGamerRadio. You follow me, I'll follow you back. And also, iTunes. Don't forget, we do need more iTunes reviews. Go on iTunes, search for More Like Radio. Leave us a review. 5-star would be best. Email me, send me a tweet that you did, that you left as a review, and I'll have a read, and I'll read it out on the air, and I'll give you a little bit of a shout out. Don't forget as well, email me what you've been playing. I'd love to know if there's something I've missed. As always, go morelikeradio.com. Check out all the shows we have on the network. So if you want to listen to this, I do go live at 9 o'clock UK time, which is about 4 PM Eastern. Make sure there's a whole bunch of shows going live all the time. Get involved with us and tell people about us, tell your friends, tell your enemies, pretty much tell anyone about More Like Radio, and we would appreciate that and all the plugs and all the stuff that we can get. I'm going to be gone next week, but I'll be back the week after, and I will see you then. Take care, people. Bye bye.
fucking Ashley brought anything to the table?
My God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.